Welcome everyone to Be a Traveler, Not a Tourist. I'm taking this class. It's called Wine Spirits Education Trust, and it's one of the many different certifications you can get for wine and spirits. This particular one that I'm doing, it is more on the academic side as far as certification goes. And no, after passing this, you do not get the title of sommelier. This one is more for like teaching and background and in the buying and being in the industry side of it, not necessarily in the restaurant and service side. In class, we're learning a lot more of text and history and a lot of the whys behind a lot of the wines and spirits that are out there. But just to kind of reflect, I know we're jumping level 3, but I kind of wanted to do this just because I need to reflect week to week as far as the material goes and to kind of help me process everything. I hope it's helpful if you ever decide to take this, but to recap real quick, level 2 was the first step into it. There is a level 1, but it's more of like an introductory, kind of like if you and your friends wanted to do it and it was something fun. That was easy, and basically it's questions like, is Pinot Noir red or white? That's the kind of questions you'll be getting. So it's just really, really, really basic. And level 2, I would say, would then be talking more specifics as far as like, where can Pinot Noir grow? That's what you're learning about. And then in level 3, as far as my knowledge, even though I'm only on week 2, Pinot Noir, what are the flavor notes, and where is it generally grown? What are you looking for as far as like the typicity of it, and yada yada. And it's just one of those things where it's just kind of like I'm learning to build upon level 2. And by the way, I passed my level 2 with merit, and you know, I'm just really happy to kind of be moving forward and getting to this. And you know, I was talking to my wife about this, and she's absolutely right. Keep the material while it's fresh, so take it right away. I'm kind of shocked because I thought there would be more people from my class moving forward into level 3, but I guess a lot of them wanted to take a break because it was kind of draining. It was in a sense, but I don't feel like I had the timeline to be able to wait till next year or the year afterwards to kind of to do level 3. And so I took advantage of this opportunity, especially to do it right now as the school is in between. I'm currently taking it over with Peter Neptune School of Wine, and that's down in Costa Mesa. Peter Neptune is the master sommelier. He's in the first movie of Somme, and you know, he's just it's just so full of knowledge and fun and passion, and just he really makes the class interesting. He also gets us really comfortable in class to be able to be ready to absorb everything, even though it may feel like, for me, over our heads. Like it's really intimidating trying to talk with a guy just because like he studied and he has all these like diplomas and certifications and everything like that, and his palate is just ridiculous, right? And so I'm trying to get myself so that I'm more prepared with everything that he's giving us. And so having said that, this certification for level 3, it's right before the diploma level. And then right after the diploma level of level 4, it's an invitation from the WSET board. And basically a mentor has to take you to become, to get the title of Master of Wine. And so that's basically like a teaching professor credential, whatever it is. And I'm just using this for where I'm at right now and trying to build up, because this would be more like dealing with with buying and understanding trends within the industry, which is a lot of fun to me. And so this applies to what this whole podcast is about too, which is about traveling and the resources available to you. I want to be able to give you guys some solid information, especially to know that you guys are getting it from someone that's actually studying this side as far as like wine and spirits goes, and then also to really better myself for my career and enjoying life, period, right? So the tests for level 3, it's multiple choice questions, like 50 multiple choice questions, and then 3 short answer questions for as part of theory. And to kind of explain that is kind of hard, just because I think I just have to read questions so you can kind of have an idea of what it's going to be like. And then there's a blind test or taste for red and white. And so our first week of class, Peter was talking about, we're going to be running through 82 different bottles of wine. Right now we've gone through 8 bottles. And so it's just like wham, bam, bam, bam. He's like really calibrating our taste buds, our palate, and just really telling us what we should be looking for, correcting us and guiding us back to as far as like how we can tell things on our own. And so he says that, for his class, his history is that the majority of his people pass the tests as far as like the tasting portion goes. It's the theory portion that, he really can't help, because it's just honestly, it's about studying. It's about putting in the work, And so he says about 4.5 hours a week, if you commit that, you will pass the theory exam. And so I'm just trying to put my work in right now. And just want to give you guys an example as far as like what the questions would be like. Reading from the workbook. See here. It covers elements of grape growing, winemaking, and service. Each part is discussed in turn and sample answers are supplied. So part 1A, this is like broken up into different pieces. This first question is broken up into 2 parts. A, Chardonnay can grow both cool and warm climates. Give an example of one cool climate region and one warm climate region in Australia where Chardonnay is grown, and describe what impact this climate has on the fruit characteristics of the grape. There's a total of 6 points available for this. So for cool climate, warm climate, there's 2 parts to the answer. This element asks you to apply your knowledge of Australian wine regions. 1 mark would be allocated for each valid region and 2 marks for describing the characteristics of Chardonnay grapes found in these climates. They even give you an example of an excellent answer. Cool climate. Tasmania is a region with a cool climate. The grapes have apple and citrus and aromas. Warm climate. Margaret River has a warm climate. Here the grapes develop aromas of ripe tropical fruits such as banana and pineapple. All right, so part 2, B, vertical shoot positioning, which is VSP, is a trellising system often used when growing Chardonnay in a cool climate. Explain why a grape grower would choose to use this system. This element of the question requires you to focus on the application and explanation, and all 4 marks are linked to how well you demonstrate these skills. An excellent answer you might read is, in cool climates, grapes can struggle to ripen fully. A grape grower can help the grapes to ripen by increasing their exposure to sunlight and heat. In VSP, the shoots are trained up the wires, meaning that the grapes are not shaded by any shoots that might otherwise hang down. The exposure to sunlight and heat is therefore maximized. And then a less successful answer might read, in a cool climate, VSP exposes the fruit to more sunlight and heat. So they really want to expound and be more detailed as far as like how you answer everything. This is just an example of it, and just I can see why it's so hard for people to pass this portion, because you really got to know your stuff. And I think I'm just trying to be focused on knowing the material and going from there. In the tasting portion, I know that Peter's going to be extremely helpful in that aspect. So in level 2, I was focusing a lot on it just because I knew that it wasn't my strongest point. Because coming into the class, as far as like going through the tasting grid and going through everything, I thought I had an edge. But honestly, once I compared myself to everyone else and tried to see where everyone was at versus where I was trying to go, definitely was not where I thought it was. I've been to a lot of tastings, in my opinion, but I never I never approached it this way before. And I think as people start to look at this, you'll start to approach it differently and really stretch yourself out, because this grid right here, when you're looking at it from a professional standpoint, you're really trying to observe everything about the wine. And so there's four different parts to level three tasting, which is more detailed than level two. Level two was pretty basic as far as like the approach goes, but it had pretty much the same things like appearance, nose, palate, conclusion. So you have to assess the quality of the wine and you kind of go from there. In clarity, you have to decide whether or not, you know, the wine is either clear or hazy. If it's hazy, it will be faulty. Intensity, it goes, the intensity of the color, the appearance of the wine would be pale, medium, or deep. And then you have the different colors you kind of go to, the nose. As you're smelling the wine, the condition, is it clean or unclean? Unclean, or again, being faulty. Intensity of the nose, does it really come at you or is it really light? It goes crazy. It's light, medium minus, medium, medium plus, pronounced. And so we have to learn all those different things about that. Aroma characteristics, primary, secondary, tertiary. This is a new thing for level three. You really got to understand there's certain notes that fall under primary and certain notes that come from being secondary and then tertiary, which is then another thing as well. And then palate, as you taste the wine, is it going to be sweet, acid, tannin, alcohol, body? These are all part of the structure. Mousse, which is representative in sparkling wines, flavor intensity, flavor characteristics, again, primary, secondary, tertiary, and finish. So as you can tell, there's a lot of stuff to this. And like they give you this thing on the back, like describing aroma and flavor, and they list out a few things to kind of help give words to what you're smelling and tasting. Excuse me. So it's, again, just really, really interesting as far as like the complexity of the tasting grid and just everything that they want you to go through. I just kind of want to briefly cover it with you guys and really just explain a little bit more about it. Peter went through the tasting grid with us and just really just told us like what each thing was and how to kind of tell for everything. And so just got to go through the notes again and taste a lot of wines while doing all this, right? So let's see here. So he gave us this, acronym? It's FEWW, F-E-W-W, which is fruit, earth, wood flavors, and winemaking. And so it kind of, so you know, like what areas you have to hit when you're going through it. We get about 15 minutes per wine, which is going to be great. So it gives us a little time to really absorb it all and to really go through it. And then when you're in Master Sommelier, apparently you get like 6 minutes per wine and you get six bottles, which is insane. But yeah, it's just, these are all the different things that we're using and looking forward to. He kind of goes through everything about what we should be tasting, as far as like the palate goes. Dry wines are 8 grams of sugar, and if there's acid in it, it's tartaric acid, which then just means that it's dry wine. It's funny because when people come and talk to me about I only like dry wines, I have to ask them like, well, I mean, do you want just no sugar? Or are you asking about like tannin? Because sometimes people confuse tannin with it, the wine being dry. And when I'm hearing it now, I'm thinking dryness in the aspect of whether or not there's sugar in the wine. And so if there's sugar, then it's going to be not dry. And so it just reads off that way to me now. Let's see, your flavor characteristics, can't taste it, can't smell it. Minerality comes through on the palate. So primary comes from fruit. So basically your simple like industrial bulk wines will have a lot of just primary, not necessarily secondary or tertiary. is mainly just simple fruit, like fresh fruit. That's what you're gonna be getting. Secondary, you're gonna be getting from the winemaking. So like with Chardonnay, for example, you'll be getting malolactic fermentation. That's MLF. So that gives you like that yogurt and sour cream body. Like when people talk about that butteriness, that's what they're talking about. Because the winemaker is putting it through that same process from the lees, which in turn is creating that that butteriness around the body and that smell of butter too, like butter popcorn. That's what you're getting from that, from secondary flavors. It's just as an example. Tertiary comes from aging, and it's just from development of flavors. So like, whereas with primary flavors, you're getting fresh fruit, but if you're getting like baked, jammy, like stewed fruits, like plums, or like even like sweet marmalade, like stuff like that, that's where you're getting your tertiary flavors from. And so, let's see here, sugar, tip of the tongue, that's where you're gonna taste your sugar on your tongue. Acid, in our mouth, we have a pH that's running from 3. And so like when you get acid, like your mouth is basically salivating to kind of compensate for the acidity that's in the wine. So it's bright and cheerful. Tannins, it's in the middle of the tongue that you feel as far as like drying out. You also can feel it from the front of your mouth, like in the teeth and the gums. That's where it's like you feel like it's gripping it. It's almost like it's pulling at your mouth, which is what I feel. For alcohol, low is considered 11% or less. Medium is 11.1 to 13.9. And then anything above 14% is considered high. And the body of the wine is linked to the tannins and the alcohol. That's considered part of your structure. Coming to conclusion, you want to look at balance, length, intensity, and complexity. All these things, if you are able to hit all four, then it would be considered astounding or outstanding. 3 out of 4 in the book, it says, then it would be very good. 2 out of 4 would be okay. And then 1 out of 4, then would be just poor. And then all 4 bad, then basically it's a faulty wine. They have this weird thing now as far as like being able to label the assessing the quality of the wine. They want you to be able to pronounce whether or not it is youthful, ready to drink now, or ready to drink now but could use aging. And then the third one is ready to drink now, will not benefit from aging. And then the fourth one, which is too old. So basically the fruit has gone past its prime. It's really flat, really dull. Either got aged too long or just is no longer no good. And then we went to go and drink a few wines. We had a Muscadet 2017, high acid, no tans because it's white. But moderate alcohol, it was a 12.5, medium bodied, but just really fresh and definitely ready to drink now. Not suitable for aging. No tannins, of course. Then we also had a 2017 Lafon Chardonnay from Santa Rita Hills. This one actually was... you can age this one. But what is it? He told me that California Chardonnays are not meant to be aged. That's what he said. And so... he just has this thing. I guess a lot of the people that are in the industry have this thing against California wines. They're more of like a porch pounder, drinking now, that sort of deal. And so it's just really interesting just understanding the side of it and just all the different things that we're picking up from it. So yeah, California Chardonnays don't age. Interesting. We had a Valpolicella 2016. This one's just meant to be had fresh, youthful wine, a lot of primary flavors. And so this is, again, just one of those things, even though it's, simple and a lot of primary flavors, it's a good wine. And so, but it's still a drink now, no more aging, all about the freshness. And then the second red bottle that we had was a 2013 Marques de Murrieta Rioja Reserva. Very complex, developing. It had primary, secondary, and tertiary flavors. Very good was the quality assessment on this one. It's a drink now, but potential to age. And so dried huckleberry was like the main fruit note on this, but it just it had a lot of amazing stuff going on, which is a lot of fun. I've had this bottle before in the 2015 and a couple other years, actually. And just a great overall bottle, honestly, overall, if you guys ever had a chance to look for it. Let's see here. Went through a lot. We go through a lot of stuff. This is insane. Just how much we're learning about wine growing, which is insane. So we're talking about natural factors, human factors, and then vine species. Talked about a little bit of history. I guess his experience as far as like seeing the industry and what's going on with it. But yeah. So just kind of want to finish off with this, natural factors, climate, soil aspect, grape variety, which is a very important, of course, and weather, human factors. You have vineyard planting, the mechanics of it, irrigation, timing of picking, winemaking, maturation, and market forces. You don't really think about market forces too much. We ended up spending a little bit more time on it and just really about what drives winemaking. A lot of times the winemakers say, I'm going to make the wine that I want to drink. But then there's also a lot of people that are making wine, the bulk wines, industrial wines for the people that, you know, they may not want to drink. It's really interesting because a lot of times these wines tend to be like much sweeter. Definitely a lot more like chemicals added or just something just... I don't know how to say it, at least not without being not nice. But things like that nature. There's a lot of cheap wine out there, and it's just there because people want something to drink and something that is cheap and easy and ready to go, and they're those wines. So, but pretty good as far as like the first week goes. Just went over a ton of stuff. I mean, I'm probably doing like about 10 pages a week right now. This is just 2 weeks. I mean, I just ordered some books. I'm just trying to get myself ready. He went over a really cool trick as far as like converting centigrade to Fahrenheit. 10 degrees centigrade is 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And so differences between 10 degrees would then be 18 degrees Fahrenheit. See here. Man, we stopped at talking about just climate classification, which is insane. So got to work on that and just kind of process everything. But yeah, that's level 3, week 1. I know I went through a lot really fast. A lot of the material is also available online at WSET. But this is just me trying to process everything and get myself ready. As far as like where I'm going to be, what am I going to be doing with this? Studying wise, research, as I'm reading the text, I'm also writing down notes of things that I feel that's important. And this is also suggested by Peter, you know, just writing things down as we're talking and reading about it helps our body to help remember it. So the more we write and repeat it, it's going to help it ingrain itself into our body a lot more. He suggested that also with drawing the maps about the communes and the AVAs, the AOCs in the world. And so that way we are very familiar with where everything is and just where it's located. And so that's another thing that I have to get going. It's like a 3-month course, and you know, July 15th is my deadline. So I'm hoping this works out, honestly. I'm kind of like 50-50 right now as far as like whether, of course, I'm going to be able to do it, pass the test. But, you know, I'm giving myself a chance here. I'm planning out. I'm cut out a lot of stuff as far as like being able to hang out with people. I want to take it as serious as possible. I'm working full time as well and trying not to take away from my job too much, but also just to get this done right, because I really want to get this under my belt, and I feel like it's going to help me move forward in my career and my life. But if you guys have questions about this, I'd love to hear from you, and you guys can do that by adding it through messages and stuff on this app on Anchor. But yeah, thanks for listening, and hopefully it comes out clear. I know I was kind of rushing through it, but you know, it just, I'm just reading my notes and kind of just processing this still. And so, I can talk about everything a little bit more, the different wines and just everything that I'm struggling with to get to it. So, all right, but thanks for listening. This was WSET Level 3, Week 1, First Experience.